Are you ready for the word today? I believe it's going to bless you. Say this from your heart. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evan's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for Jesus who died for us so that we could not only just have life, but to have it more abundantly. I pray that as the word is ministered, that whatever areas in our lives that need to be adjusted, we won't just hear what your word says. We will make adjustments in our lives so that, Father, we can be blessed in our doing. And I thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders, increased promotions, following our lives as we hear and take heed to what's being said today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Let everybody say, amen, 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 amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we get started, how many are visiting for the very first or second time? Raise your hand. Just wave at us. Wave, wave, wave. All right, we have some visitors in the house. Thank you so much for being a part. Today is a very different day, but we still believe that what's taking place will be a blessing in your life. Can you say amen to that? So we are currently in a series called Excellence, Being Your Very Best in Every Area of Life. Everybody say excellence. Being your best in every area of your life. And see, here's the thing. Excellence is not something that everyone operates in. Because if it was, the world would be a better place than what it is right now. Can I get an amen? Amen. Recently, I was in an appointment, and the young lady who was taking my vitals looked like she had taken her uniform right out of the clothes basket and put them on. Her clothes were so wrinkled that it looked like her clothes needed some Botox. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Excellence is rare. Everybody say excellence. Excellence is rare. Excellence is rare, and that's why those who function in excellence will rise to the top like Daniel did. And so I believe there is a prophetic expectation that goes along with what I'm teaching. Everybody say prophetic expectation. I believe the prophetic expectation from this teaching includes upcoming promotions, upcoming elevation, upcoming positions of influence, upcoming favor, and upcoming, listen, to all of those who intentionally raises their level of excellence. What I'm saying is you can't stay at the excellence level that you're at. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm already functioning in excellence. That's good. But I believe everybody's level of excellence can be raised, because if it cannot, that means you're saying I can no longer grow. And I know that excellence will cause favor and promotions and elevations and influence to come into your life. Just this past week, you all saw the video. But First Lady and I were invited by Coach Deion Sanders himself to come to Colorado to not only be at the game, but just for him to show us what was going on. And honestly, when we got there, I did not expect Coach Deion to spend the majority of his day with us. I mean, it was first class. He took us. He toured us on the campus. He got in his own golf cart, drove it himself, and took us around campus. He showed us around everything. And I mean, it was incredible. And then to top it off, he allowed me to share some type of encouraging word with the players. And then to just take it all to the next level, before the game started, you know, they allow only certain people to be on the sideline. Well, how many know we was on the sideline? So apparently we didn't have all the right credentials to be there. So the head of security came over and same in question and says, where's you all's other thing? And Coach Dion's business partner came over to the security guy and says, they are Coach Dion's personal guests. Everybody say, that's favor. See, when you function in excellence, things would happen that money can't buy. And so after, right before the game started, they escorted us to Coach Dion's personal box and we watched the game from the top. Everybody say, excellence. We'll promote you. And I'm telling you, if you will raise your level of excellence, I see promotions, I see levels of excellence, I see elevation, I see promotion coming your way. So God wants us to raise our level of excellence because I believe it's directly connected to divine favor and promotion. So listen, Daniel chapter 1 verse 9 is going to actually prove to you what I just said. It says, now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now you have to understand, Daniel was actually in some form of prison, so to speak. It said that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. In other words, God brought Daniel into favor. Why? Because I believe that God trusted Daniel because he saw Daniel function with excellence. And excellence will cause God to bring you into favor and divine influence with people that have position and influence to bless your life. So our message title today, and if you need the notes for today, raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes. And those of you who are viewing online, which by the way, we received the report from our giving company who PushPay, who we use for our electronic giving, and they sent us a map to all the people who we influence, and our staff, including myself, was impressed with all the people around the country who are connected to Word of Truth Family Church. So give our online audience some big hand clap. So our message title today, if you're taking notes, is Leading with Excellence. Leading with excellence. And the goal of the message is to challenge everyone to lead with excellence in whatever you do and wherever you do it. So the text is found again in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to quickly read it. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Verse 2. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account to them and the king should have no damage. Watch verse 3. Here's our focus verse. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. And here's why, church, read it with me. Because an excellent spirit was in him. And because he had an excellent spirit, the rest of that verse says, the king thought to put him over the whole realm. That's promotion. As you begin to raise your excellence, God will use that excellence that you're functioning in to cause you to be promoted. And so what I want to do first is define what a leader is. Because there are some of you who are here, you may be a student. And you say, well, I'm not a leader, I'm a student. But that's not necessarily true. So here's the definition of a leader. A leader is a person who influences, who guides, and directs others towards achieving a vision or a goal. I'm going to say that again. A leader is a person who influences, guides, and directs others towards achieving a vision or a goal. Which means that leaders look all types of ways. If you are the president of a club, you're a leader. If you're a mother, you're a leader. If you're a dad, you're a leader. If you're a supervisor at work, you're a leader. If you're a manager, you're a leader. If you, let's say you're the head of an organization on campus at school, you're a leader. And you may be saying, well, Pastor Evan, I'm none of that. Well, the fact that we have been appointed as ambassadors for Christ makes you a leader. So just look at someone next to you and tell them, say, I'm a leader. All right. So here's what I want to do. I want to break down leading with excellence into two areas, because I'm not just talking about leading, because many people lead, but many people don't lead with excellence. So I'm going to break it down into two areas. We're going to talk about leading in your actions, and then we're going to talk about leading with an attitude, because when it comes to leading with excellence, a person can have excellent actions but have an awful attitude. I'm going to say that again. A person can have excellent actions. In other words, the outcome of their work looks amazing, but their attitude doesn't and isn't. And see, this happens when what I call, and the staff will tell you, when people put paper over people. This is when people put process over purpose. And you can't do that. For example, and if I use any church examples, I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about all the other churches. Okay, so when I use a church example, just know I'm not talking to nobody in here. I'm only talking to other churches. So let's give an example over this paper over people thing. Let's say an usher forgets that they're not just seating people, they're serving people. Their actions may have seated the person, but their attitude shows they don't even want to see the person. Look at your neighbor and say, no ushers in here do that. Excellence, listen church, because some of us, we let the negative attitude of others affect our positive attitude in us. And see, if you are a person of excellence, excellence will still act its best and give its best, even if it's not receiving its best. And most of the time, here's the thing about what I've discovered, most of the time, people want the fruit from excellence without having to produce the fruit of excellence. Say, what do you mean by that? The most critical people are the ones that can spot things that are wrong, but won't do nothing to fix it. These are the people who say, well, I don't go to church no more because all churches are fake. Okay, so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that makes you a member of the body. And the Bible calls members of the body the church. So if all churches are fake, you fake too. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to you. Now look at him again and say, but he talking to me though. He talking to me there. Most people want to get excellence, but they don't want to give excellence. But see, excellence costs, but it pays for itself. So what we're going to do this morning very quickly is I want to give maybe five, depends on how much time we have. I want to give some principles to leading with excellence. So here's principle number one of leading with excellence. The heart is where excellence should start. Everybody say the heart is where excellence should start. Excellence should start in the heart. And the reason I'm bringing Daniel back into this is because not only was Daniel preferred by the king, not only was Daniel promoted by the king, but I believe one of the reasons Daniel was recognized at certain levels was because Daniel, his excellence didn't just come from his hand, it came from his heart. And so if you'll notice, and this is when Daniel did the fast, really wasn't a fast, we call it a fast, but his eating lifestyle he asked for it to be changed. And the Bible says, but Daniel purposed where, church? He purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. In other words, Daniel's, his disciplines came from a heart of excellence. And when the focus of excellence is not coming from the heart, in other words, it's based on what you do and not who you are, what tends to happen is people focus on the outside or the outcome and not the income. In other words, instead of it coming from the heart, people focuses on now perfection. Perfection becomes the focus. And once perfection becomes the focus, I want you to hear me because this is where some of you all may be. Once perfection becomes the focus, then now performance is going to become the thing. So now you have people who think excellence is about perfection. And once they think that way, the focus now is going to be performing. And most people are performing and they don't know that they are. And once a person is performing and performance becomes your drug of choice. Look at your neighbor and say, I didn't know performance was a drug. Yeah, it is. Because drugs have side effects. Okay, so typically when you take a drug or a medication and it has side effects, you know, they'll put it on the screen. It'll kill you, it'll kill your mom, it'll kill your dog, it'll kill your bird, it'll kill all that, right? Those are side effects. Well, having a performance attitude, which really derives from having this perfectionistic type thing, it has side effects. And one of the side effects of performing is when you don't get the praise you need after you perform. So performance has negative side effects. So what are some of the side effects of performance or being performance driven? Here's the first one is burnout and stress. When you find a person, because people who have a perfectionistic attitude about themselves, here's the bad part about that. None of us will ever be perfect. But for some reason, when your approval comes from you feeling like you got to do everything right, it produces that perfect or that perfectionistic attitude, which now pushes you into performance. And when you perform from the flesh, for the most part, you're going to eventually experience some burnout and stress. Because a relentless focus on achieving high performance is going to lead to some level of chronic stress or eventually burnout. And this is why you have to do what you do, as Colossians 3:23 says, you have to do it as unto the Lord. Watch verse 23, it says, and whatever you do, whether you're coaching, whether you're typing, whether you're ironing, whether you're singing, whether you're playing, whether you're supervising, he says, whatever you do, right? Whether you're studying, do it how, church? Heartily. In other words, he said, whatever you and I do, it should come from the heart. He says, and do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. You do what you do as unto the Lord. Because see, the goal, watch this now, is to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if you have this performance attitude, you're not looking for the Lord to say well done. You're looking for men to say well done. And you're going to work hard and tirelessly until you hear it. The bad part about it is if you don't hear it and you're working hard to hear it, you're going to burn out because you didn't hear it. Here's a second thing that can happen when you become performance oriented is that you have what I call performance identity. And this is where an individual ties their self-worth and their identity to their achievements and their performances. And this is why it's so easy to get upset when you don't get the raise you felt you needed. I've been here 5 years and I've not missed this and I've gotten this and I got great at this and I haven't gotten this. Well, that may be true. But the question I have is your identity tied to your activity? See, this mindset, when a person has that, makes it difficult to really help that person not feel inadequate, because their confidence comes from what they do. And this is what happens with people who are in, you know, professional athletes. Their identity is the sport, not realizing one day they're not going to be able to do the sport. Amen. And people who struggle with performance identity, listen, have a difficult time receiving criticism or correction. Why? Because in their mind, they're coming from perfection. They're producing, or they're saying, hey, I'm going to perform for this. And now they can't take criticism because what they did is them. So when you criticize them, they see it personally instead of seeing where they can do better. Here's another, next one. I'm going to close with this one. Not close, but I'm going to close this section. When a person has this performance attitude, they end up with unhealthy competition. And this is performance, this approach competes instead of collaborates. People who have this performance attitude, they're competing with everybody. And so instead of now collaborating, they compete. So here's a take-home statement I want you to think about this week. You will always compete with who you compare yourself with. I'm going to say that again. You will always compete with who you compare yourself with. See, the moment you compare is the moment somebody's got to win or lose. That's the whole point of comparing, to see who's better. Right, church? Okay, so when you have that comparing attitude, that unhealthy competition about yourself, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says this in the King James. But we dare to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they are measuring themselves by themselves and they are comparing themselves among themselves. They are not wise. It is not wise to compete or compare yourself against someone else. If there's anybody you need to be competing with, it's with you. Amen. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, I was graduating from college. I have never been good with math. What's interesting is I'm not good at math, but I'm great with numbers. That don't make sense, does it? So I had to take trigonometry to graduate. Now, mind you, trigonometry is a freshman course. But I waited to my senior year to take it because I knew I wasn't good with math. I figured I'd put enough pressure on myself that if you don't pass, Evan, you don't graduate. So I waited to my senior year last semester. It's time for Evan to take trig, and I'm the only senior in this class. And so I knew I could not pass this trigonometry course on my own. So I hired a tutor. She was a freshman. So you got a freshman tutoring a senior. And I mean, I don't miss a tutoring class. I don't miss no homework assignments. I'm doing everything I need to do, and I studied hard. So final exam time comes. I do the final exam, and I'm shaky coming out of that final exam. Because I sure hate to not graduate over a trigonometry class. Well, guess what? I made a C in that class. And some of y'all say, "Woo, Pastor, you're not that smart." Well, let me tell you something about that C. That C was an A to me. Because I did everything I knew to do it. And that's what excellence is. Excellence is doing whatever you do at the best of your ability. And even though I got a C, it was an A to me because I did everything I needed to do. Amen. So a person who's performance oriented and they're competition oriented, Instead of being team-minded, they are me-minded. They would rather do the things themselves than to develop people and train people to do it along with them. Why? Because they've chosen performance as their drug. And see, drugs, what they do? They increase you or they decrease you. Weed will make you feel high or to make you feel paranoid. How many know what I'm talking about? Y'all know. So real quickly here, let me give you principle number two. Leading with excellence, principle number two is your walk should match your talk. When it comes to excellence, your walk should match your talk. In other words, what you say should match what you display. If you're going to lead with excellence, your example of excellence should help justify your expectations of excellence. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to lead with excellence, then your example of excellence should help justify your expectations of excellence. In other words, what I'm saying is I expect excellence from the staff. But the reason I can justify my expectation of excellence from them is because I'm displaying excellence to them. Say amen to that. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, I love this. Paul was telling Timothy, he says, let no man despise your youth. He said, but I want you to be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and impurity. And the reason I'm reading this is because Paul was telling Timothy, hey, be an example. And here's how you need to be an example. Well, when you are leading by excellence, you are leading by example. Say amen to that. And your excellence should show up in word. It should show up in your conversation, your lifestyle. It should show up in how you love. It should show up in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Here's leading it with excellence principle number three. Is you need to be excellent, watch this, behind the scenes, not just when you are being seen. I'm going to say that one again. Leading with excellence is when you be excellent behind the scene, not just when you are being seen. In other words, what I'm saying is you're excellent when somebody see you and when they don't. Yes. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 says this, wherefore my beloved, as you always, everybody say always. Paul said to the Philippian church, you always obey not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And then he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, if you are a person of excellence, you're going to be excellent when nobody else is looking. If you do it just to be seen, your excellence is not coming from the heart. It's coming from the head. Say amen to that. Here's principle number four, leading with excellence. Don't settle for average when excellence is available. I'm going to say that again. Look at your neighbor and say, don't settle. Don't settle for average when excellence is available. Average is the graveyard in which excellence is buried. If you want to see the harvest of excellence, you must bury the seed of average. I'm going to say that again. If you want to see the harvest of excellence, you must bury the seed of average. See, you can't function in next level excellence until you've decided you're going to leave your current level of average. Most people don't function in excellence because it costs too much. So what do you mean? It might cost you some money. Why have you not washed your car in 4 weeks? Pastor, the weather's been bad. The weather's been bad. I don't care if the weather has been bad. Why haven't you washed your car in 4 weeks? The inside of it looks like the playground at Mary Orr. That's a school, by the way. Excellence is going to cost you something. It might cost you some time. You might have to go in early and leave late in order for what you do to be excellent. Amen. You might have to spend a little bit more extra money to get your hair done straight. no, brother, you can't do these home haircuts. You look crazy. No, 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 no. Go to a professional barber. Come out, if you're going to wear a beard, make sure it's trimmed and nice and good looking. It look like rats been playing under your chin. Come on now. Listen, church. Irons are not out of style. Okay, all right. You will always be average until you decide to be excellent. And here's something I say all the time, but I'm putting it in this context. Jesus can only give you strength to do something once you've decided to do it. See, until you decide you're going to function at a new level of excellence, Jesus don't need the strength in you to do it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can, what's the next little word? I can what? Do. I can do. Well, you can't do until you decide you're going to do. So once you decide to do, what's going to happen? He's going to give you strength and empowerment to do it. Say amen to that. Jesus will empower you to be excellent once you decide you're going to be and strive for excellence. You can never change what you accept, so don't settle for average. Here's the last one. Leading with excellence, this is principle number 5, means you need to be consistent. Do you know inconsistency is the foundation for average? Because most people who are average are inconsistent. That's why the average American is overweight. Just look straight. I ain't talking to nobody. I ain't taking, no, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Just listen to what I'm saying. The average American is overweight, which says that the average American is inconsistent to what it takes to not be overweight. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says, be steadfast. Be what? Unmovable. Always what? Abounding. Always, always, always. In other words, consistency attracts promotion. Another word of consistency in the Bible is faithfulness. Matthew 2:24-45 says, who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his Lord, watch this, here's promotion, will make him ruler over his whole household. Faithfulness or consistency will cause you to be a ruler and cause you to be promoted. So here's my question to you today. Who's ready to go up? Because I'm telling you, listen, I don't do stuff unless I feel led to do it. And there's always a prophetic gesture or voice of what God is wanting to do when I'm teaching something. And I'm telling you, anticipate promotion coming. But don't anticipate getting it if your excellence is average. So how do we apply today's word? Number one, write down 3 areas where you can improve your excellence. Number 2, give these areas and how you plan on improving them to a friend so you can be accountable to them. Number 3, be consistent in your actions and your attitude. And then number 4, profess and expect promotion to come your way. Did you get something out of the word today? Somebody said every time. Well, praise the Lord for that. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do now. I am going to, lead our church in what I'm going to call, our sowing. So let me tell you what happened. I'm back there writing the checks and writing notes to all of my pastors yesterday. And I'm watching the thousands of dollars that I'm not sad about giving. I'm not sad about it. And this phrase comes to me while I'm doing it. excellence is worth sowing into. Everybody say excellence is worth sowing into. That's why people don't mind paying a higher price for certain items, because they knew or know excellence went into getting it. So then I thought, oh wow, this would be a great way of receiving the value of the visionary offering, because a lot of times, depending on your perspective of a person, will determine your expectation of the person. All pastors are not the same. We have the same position, but we don't all function the same. And so you can't value something you don't understand. So as I was writing those checks, I thought excellence is worth sowing into. And then here's what I thought about. I'm going to read it real quick and then we'll close it. 1 Kings chapter 10. If they'll put it on the board. Here we go. Here's the context. Queen of Sheba. You know, I forget which rapper lady called herself Queen of the South. Who did that? Who called themselves Queen of the South? Y'all don't know? There's a rapper lady. Who was it? Trina? I don't know who she is, but Queen of the South. I thought it was Nicki Minaj. It wasn't Nicki Minaj. Did she call herself? No? Okay, whatever. Queen Sheba she's the original Queen of the South. That's my point. It said the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon. So she came to test him with hard questions. And let me say this. You're not going to go try to visit somebody who you don't know have excellence on them. Because she went a long way to come see him. She came to see him to test him with hard questions. She traveled to Jerusalem with a very large group of servants. There were many camels carrying spices and jewels and lots of gold. She met Solomon and asked him all the questions that she could think. Solomon answered all her questions. None of her questions was too hard for him to explain. The Queen of Sheba saw that Solomon was very wise. She also saw, so in addition to his wisdom, she also saw the beautiful palace he built. Everybody said, that's excellence. She saw the food at the king's table. Everybody said, that's excellence. She saw his officials meeting together. Everybody said, that's excellence. She saw the servants in this palace and the good clothes they were wearing. Everybody said, that's excellence. She saw his parties and the sacrifices and the offerings that he gave to the Lord's temple. She was so amazed she could hardly breathe. He took the breath out of that lady. And then she said to King Solomon, the stories I've heard in my country about your great works and your wisdom are true. I did not believe it until I came to see it with my own eyes. And now that I see it, it's greater than what I heard. She says, your wealth and your wisdom, I'm going to add, your excellence is much greater than people told me about. Your wives and your officers are very fortunate because they serve you and hear your wisdom every day. Praise the Lord your God. He was pleased to make you king of Israel. And because of the Lord's unending love for Israel, he has made you king. Watch this now. Watch her response to excellence and wisdom. Then the Queen of Sheba, what did she do, church? I'm in verse 10. What did she do? She what? She gave him more spices than anyone has ever bought. Why would this lady, how many know Solomon had money? Why would she give him money? And he didn't need no money, because she was sowing into who he was and what he had. Watch this now. Jump down to 1 Kings 10:24. Here's the last verse. It said, because I'm showing you that excellence is worth sowing into. People everywhere wanted to see King Solomon and listen to his great wisdom that God had given him. And every year people came to what? See the king, what did they do? They brought gifts made of gold and silver. Man, listen, I believe excellence is worth sowing into. And you say, well, Pastor, are you making that all about you? No, because see, you're sitting in excellence. That attracted you here. I believe that's part of what our values are. We're going to do something and we're going to do it with excellence. Amen. So stand up, because here's what we're going to do. I want us to do a confession. Because you're sowing, I want what your expectation is today to be, you're sowing into excellence, but I want you to expect to reap some things. So if you're giving by way of the envelope, in fact, if you gave already, just hold your phone up if you gave electronically. And then if you're giving with your envelope, I want you to hold it up right there where you are. And I want you to say this confession. And those of you who are watching at home, grab your phone or whatever you are using to give. And I want you to say this confession with me. Say, Lord, as we sow into excellence today, thank you that our excellence is going to grow. We declare that as our excellence grows, promotion is coming our way. Increase is coming our way. Elevation is coming our way. New levels are coming our way. We thank you that as we honor Pastor Eben with this seed of honor and this seed of excellence, it is going to rebound back into our lives. We thank you for 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return coming in ways we cannot count. Coming in ways we can't even expect. And we thank you now, Lord, for this coming to pass in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that. So with every head bowed, if you're giving today on your way out, there's a black box on the wall. You can give that way. There may be some people here who've never made Jesus Christ.